Welcome to City Life Church, and this is our podcast. This is Pastor Dave Diefendorf, and we are so honored to have you join us today. Our passion is to help you discover who God is, grow in the likeness of Jesus, and lead well in this generation. I hope in this message, God will meet you where you're at and take you to the next level in your connection with Him and His kingdom. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Ooh, this mic's good. Check, check. As Brett said, I'm going to continue our series throughout Matthew. We are pretty much in the middle of the book. Trevor and Dave did a good job earlier this month talking about other chapters that led up to this, talking about the disciple lifestyle, broke down faith, talked about last week the authority of a disciple, which is like the foundation. Like, yeah, every chapter is good, but those three titles I'm really excited about because it's laying the roadwork. It's laying the foundation up to this week's topic of watching how the kingdom grows. So as we read through chapter 13, which is all about parables, we get a lot of parables today. We're going to try to put on a lens of seeing how the kingdom grows. In order to do that, I want to help make sure that we have a clear, clean picture and not just a bunch of half-truths of how the kingdom grows and what the kingdom looks like. And to help unpack that a little bit, if you don't understand like what half-truths are, recently my son, Caden, he's a third grader, soon to be fourth, I received a phone call from another parent from his class. And the phone call began with, "Hey, is this Mr. Gepford? I don't like these phone calls." I'm like, oh, great. Here we go. I haven't heard anything from the teacher, so this is new to me. So I'm like, okay, share away. And he's like, "Yeah, my daughter came home and said that your son tried to hit her twice, once with her hand and the second time, or with his hand and the second time with his backpack." And he goes on this topic of like bullies and like safety of his daughter, and they were all wonderful concerns. I got four kids. I got a daughter. I get it. And so immediately, like, I'm just full of rage. I'm like, oh, Caden, you dummy. What are you doing? Oh, you're supposed to be the, you know, good kid, you know, and all these thoughts and half, you know, all these lies start filling my head about my own son. And unfortunately, he was at a baseball game when I received this phone call, so I couldn't even go talk to him right away. I just had to listen to all this without having the opportunity to talk to him. So finally he gets home and I'm like, "Caden, man, got anything to share today? What happened at school?" And he's like, "Nothing. It was a super duper day." And they like do a self-evaluation thing on a sheet, and he had the best day of his life. He passed his spelling test early, all these good things. And I'm like, "Okay, you sure? Like nothing out of the ordinary?" He's like, "No, it was a good day." And I was like, "All right, well, I got a phone call," and I spill it all out. And, like, he's confused at first, and then through conversation, his eyes open up, and he's like, "Oh, you're talking about this girl?" And I'm like, "Yes." And he's like, "Yeah, I was trying to play a game with her." I was like, "What game's that?" "Oh, we like to play trying to make people flinch." And so with my hand, I just kind of went like this and tried to get her to flinch. She didn't flinch. And I was like, "Okay." "And then your backpack?" And he's like, "Yeah, I had my backpack, like, at the end of the day, and I just kind of went like this to try to get her to flinch." I was like, "Okay, everyone plays this game?" "Yeah, a lot of the guys." I'm like, "Okay, what, were you trying to hurt her?" "No, no, no." I was like, "Well, she got scared and thought you were going to hit her, and that's not good." And so we walked that out. We talked a little bit about boundaries and the differences of boys and girls, and it was a great conversation. But I had to call the parent back and just give an update and like, "Hey, you know," and Caden ended up apologizing for scaring her. That was not his goal. That was not his intentions. But that dad only had like half truths. Like, did Caden swing at her? Kinda. Yeah. Did he throw a kind of a backpack at her? Yeah. Kinda. But like the intentions behind it, that wasn't the full story. And so through some conversations and some new perspectives, we were able to walk that out. And as we talk about how the kingdom grows, and before we dig into these parables, parables are already hard to understand. Many people who would hear the parables of Jesus at that time were like, huh? You know, they were confused, and only those who had ears could hear, and
Only those who would accept the message, the gospel of Jesus, their eyes would begin to open. And so I kind of want to help us out. Like, let's get a 35,000-foot view of the kingdom and how it grows. And understanding that definition of the kingdom might help us a little bit. So an illustration from Tim Mackey. He's with Bible Project. Oh, no, my laser pointer just, like, came undone. I was going to use it. That's cool. Well, I won't use that. But the first picture up on the screen is this picture of kind of like our life. We show up on this earth. This earth is kind of chaotic and crazy, and there's some good things and some bad things, and we have this line for mankind, for each one of us. It's this journey as we walk throughout life. We're trying to walk on this line, and hopefully, you know, all of us get this opportunity to encounter Jesus, and we begin to learn about him, and we get to learn his ways and follow him as a disciple, and we're trying our best. It's kind of starts like with all acts of services. Like, I want to do good. I need to be a good person. And so we follow this line, and we make like a step here, good, and then we'll make a couple steps on the bad side. And our hope is that when we get to this very end of the line, the end of our time, there's this moment where we're going to go to heaven, or we're going to go to hell. Right, this is kind of the view of the kingdom and the Christianity as like a bigger, larger picture. And even if you talk to a non-believer, they're kind of like, oh yeah, they kind of believe this thing that you're on earth, and if you follow Jesus, they hope to go to heaven. If not, they go to hell. It's kind of everyone understands this kind of thing. But it's, Tim Mackey does a great job of kind of, no, it's so much more than that. That's like the half truth. You're only getting half of the picture. If you look at the whole purpose of life is just, I hope I go to heaven and not go to hell, you're looking at it all wrong, or not fully, right? So Tim Mackey continues to break this down. And, you know, if you look at Jesus in the Gospels, or you even read any part of the Bible, you start to realize that when Jesus is talking, he's always talking about what? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about heaven and hell. That's not the center of his messages. His messages are all centered around the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew 4:17-23, we've read this already, but just going back for a minute. From the time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Right? Jesus went around telling people about the good news of the kingdom. According to Jesus, heaven is a reality that is here and now and in him. Heaven is not just this in-game destination. The whole Bible is trying to tell us this. The first sentence in the Bible, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the hell. Yeah, earth. Right? I don't know why we always think like about this cycle, like this life, this purpose is all about heaven and hell and trying to stay out of hell, go to heaven. No. It's about heaven and earth. The story is about these two counterparts, God's space and human space. In the first two chapters of the Bible, heaven was married to earth, right? And then we saw the fall, right? We have a picture of heaven and earth, yeah. One, married, doing well, Adam and Eve, this perfect picture in the garden. And then we know that hell had consequences that came later in, you know, page 3 or 2, whatever page it is. But the fall happens, right? There's this moment where man is persuaded by evil to disobey God, and they see this new life and this new view of like, hey, I can determine good and evil. I can have all the power, and I can be very selfish and do my own thing, right? So Jesus does not describe hell only as a future reality, but a reality that is here now and being unleashed by humans. He'll talk about that in chapter 23, which is down the road, so I don't want to read that verse word by word, but I do want to read about a disciple of Jesus in the book of James. In verse 6 and 9, he said, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." In verse 9, talking about the tongue, right? We can bless our Lord and Father. We can bring heaven with our tongue, or we can curse people who are made in the likeness of God and bring hell, right? There's this next picture, right? Next one. Yeah, right? Hell is here on earth right now in us, in our earth. And God, and like God's whole plan is to use Jesus as this instrument to bring restoration, to bring healing to this heaven and earth, to bring it back together, right? That is the good news. The good news is we're not stained, we're not trapped in this sin, that we can get freedom, we can be let loose, and we can help this journey and go on this mission of expanding God's kingdom alongside Jesus. And so that the kingdom of heaven is here to get the hell out of this earth and the hell out of each one of us. There's another picture, right? So this is the full picture, right? The goal, Jesus is coming, restoring heaven and earth together. And in the last two chapters of the Bible, it's funny, the first two chapters, there's the separation happening. In the last two chapters, it's bringing it back together. We know the promises of Jesus. When he returns, everything will be restored together. And there's this nice picture of this new Jerusalem. And heaven and earth is married once again. And then where's hell in that picture? Well, that's the final destination. That's when hell's outside the city, right? Out on its own, and a place for those who need to go there, right? So now that we have this perspective that life isn't just about praying and hoping to go to heaven, but that there is a mission at hand, that the kingdom of heaven is advancing at this moment against the darkness, we can now read these parables with good lenses. So we begin, Matthew 13, verse 1, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, and where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but then the sun rose, and they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some of 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let them hear. So I want to stop there just for a second. There's many parables in the Bible, and the parables were used to help paint this picture of the kingdom of heaven, what it looks like, what our role is in it, how we can apply our life with it. In many of the parables, these analogies, they were given, and that was it. God's like, let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And the people of God are trying to, discern and talk about it and discuss it and try to figure it out. But every once in a while, we get lucky, and Jesus gives us a little bit more. He gives us an explanation. And for this parable, we do get an explanation. So we continue in verse 18. This is how it continues. Wow. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And with tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for the one that was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. What a wonderful picture. It's simple, it's sweet, and I've been in youth ministry and campus ministry for the last decade, and I've encountered lots of students. I love working with the next generation, and because I've done it for so long, I've got to see students who I met at, sixth grade, who are now out of college, working in the workforce, married, have kids, and so forth, and so I've got to see, I get a big picture of their life. And it's just crazy to kind of look back and, like, what kids, were each of these like scenarios. I had kids who came every youth group who would just joke and kid around every time we got serious, right? Got into the word. And it was like the bird coming and the evil ones coming and snatching those seeds. They never got into their heart. It never got into some good soil. I've seen other kids who come and they, you know, they're all in and, you know, they're doing well for a week, maybe a month, you know, maybe a year. And they go off to high school or they go off to college or they have this big life experience. And I watch the thorns just choke it away, or the rocks take up too much room and those roots just never got deep enough to hold for the time being. I still pray for them. I still hope that, man, God's not done with them. They can still regrow those roots. They can still be pruned. They're still in it. But like, and then there's those who, man, they have been living a righteous life. It hasn't been perfect. But they've planted all these seeds in good soil, and you've seen transformation and changes in their life in such a way that, man, God's using them in big ways, and it's so beautiful. And that's the goal. That's the purpose of this parable is, man, I see all my children, you, me, old, young, doesn't matter. He wants to see all of us in his kingdom. He wants to see all of us flourish and be successful and be fruitful. We need to make sure that our faith and our trust in Jesus is authentic. We need to make sure that the good news of Jesus is growing in good soil. How do you know if that seed landed in good soil? Well, one idea is, you know, you look like Jesus more this year than you did last year. You know, actions and reactions are more in alignment with his character, right? You're going to reflect him more. You won't find, you know, you're going to see fruit, good fruit. You know, you're not going to see an orange come, you know, grow on an apple tree, right? You're going to see an apple grow on an apple tree. If you are planted in Christ, you are going to produce fruit of the kingdom. It's transparent. You know, you begin to see your fruit overflow to others around you. Why? Because fruit is always designed for others. So a question for you, who's following you? Who are you benefiting? Because the truth is, bad fruit always consumes itself. There's never a problem with the seed. The problem is always the soil. Seeds need soil, and that soil needs the right environment to grow. I think I have a slide for that. Yeah. And to kind of unpack this just a little bit more, I have another son I want to point out. That's Mr. Calvin. Mr. Calvin will soon be a second grader. He was at my grandmother's house, or my mom's house, sorry, his grandmother's house about a month ago. And he's playing. It's springtime. There's seeds falling from trees. And I remember at my mom's house this seed that is like a helicopter seed. You guys know what I'm talking about? I don't even know the correct name of the tree. It's a maple tree. Who knew? Right? So the helicopter tree drops these seedlings that are awesome for kids because you can pick them up off the ground, throw it, and you see it cycle and fall, and you can play all day, at least during my generation. You can play all day outside with it. And, you know, he was excited. He had never seen one. And he's all about plants, and he comes home, or he asked Grandma first, like, Grandma, if I plant this, will it grow into a tree? And being a good grandmother, she's like, yes, it will. And so he comes home, and he's super excited. He's like, Dad, I got a seed. We got to plant it. I'm like, all right, how are you going to plant it? Like, we got to create the right environment for this seed. We need the right soil. And so we had these little starter kits, which were cute little pots, and he plants it in the pot and the soil, and, well, the environment also needs to have some sunshine, so we can't keep it in the closet in the darkness. We got to be transparent. We need to be out in the sun, get some sunlight. It needs some water. It needs some food, right? So it's growing, and then 2 weeks later, he comes in and, like, shocks me. He's like, Dad, there's a sprout, and you got to take a picture of me and send it to Grandma right now, right now. And I'm like, okay, slow down. All right. And it's just this, yeah, cute little picture of, yeah, a seed going into the right soil, the right environment, and growing. It's beautiful. Even a child can see how beautiful it is. And the same analogy is for each one of us. Like, God's word to come into our heart, be in the right soil, Read the Word. Let the Word transform your life so that you can have the right soil to see things start to burst and grow. And I love another analogy that I heard regarding Matthew by Tony Evans. Tony Evans gave an illustration of a popcorn kernel, which I just love, and I couldn't think of a different one better, so I'm using his. And it was, you know, a popcorn kernel needs the right environment for it to pop and become a popcorn, right? And you can't just put a kernel out on the table and sit there and watch it and pray that it pops. It's not going to happen, right? The chemistry behind popcorn is there's a little bit of moisture in it, and if you heat up that moisture, steam begins and pressure builds up in the kernel, and then all of a sudden, what happens? Pop. And that's what God's Word needs to do in our hearts. It needs the right environment so that we create an environment that helps create steam and pressure so that we break out of our old habits, break out of our own ways of thinking so that God can do a work in us and through us. Amen? Amen. We got to keep it going. There's lots of parables in this. I'm not going to read them all, but most of them. The next parable, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great value. These are two identical parables. They're short and sweet. I'll just read them real quick. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. The next one, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. So my question for you is this: will you give everything up for Jesus? Once you understand how rewarding, how important the kingdom of heaven is, once you get a little glimpse of it, once you finally see it, you hopefully, prayerfully, by God's mighty hand, you will recognize I need to get rid of everything I have and sell it for this one kingdom, for this one thing. Moving on, the next parable, parable of the weeds. This one is not so much focused on the seed itself. This one is focused on what is growing, right? So we're kind of moving from the inside to the outside, and we start in verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does this have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. You read that and you feel the weight of the world. You're like, if you think old way, you're like, have I done enough so I don't get bundled up and burned? Right? Or did I do enough and I'm going to be like, you know, the sunshine and live on, right? No, if you look at it just like that, you're going to miss a lot. There's so much more in this parable. It's not a warning. It's a sign of hope. Because lucky for us, Jesus explains this one too for us. Thank God, right? Verse 36, then he left the crowds and went to the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And this is so interesting too. When Jesus spoke in parables, you see many times he shares in the crowds just the general parable, but the times that he does explain it, you see it's in a different environment. It's just with the disciples. It's the ones who've already latched onto his word, and it's already doing something in them. Because now he sees like, oh, your maturity, you can handle this next layer, right? And so he continues to talk to his disciples. He answered, verse 37, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will be the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear.
That's one of my prayers, is just that we would have ears that would hear, that we would have a mind that could see what is being communicated, and that we would have a heart of soil that could let it take root. This parable is based on two things growing: wheat, sons of the kingdom, and weeds, sons of the evil one. There was two questions asked, right? The first one was, the servants were, "Master, didn't you not sow seed in your field? How then are there weeds? Where did they come from?" They came from the enemy. Right? In this story, Jesus doesn't continue to go on like, "Oh, it was Joe across the street, you know, across the field." No, there's something bigger. There is an evil that is greater than the people, right? Behind the people, persuading the people, just like they have been since day one in the garden when Adam and Eve fell. Right? It's when God's people come to believe a different story about God and think that he's holding out, that man begins to determine, you know, like going back to, yeah, they're letting the evil take over, and they see an opportunity to act out of their flesh, act out of the greatness of themselves, right? Jesus wants hell out of your life and out of this world. He wants to get the enemy out, but we can't just force the enemy out. We can't just decide right now who's good, who's bad, right? That goes to the second question of the parable. Do you want us to pull up all the weeds? That's kind of a good reaction. If I was following, you know, if I was a farmer worker and I'm like, "Oh, there's weeds in there. You want us to go cut them out? Let's go do that." That sounds like the first solution. And the thing about those weeds and wheats is there's a thing called false wheat that looks just like wheat. And so if those workers went out to cut it, they would be cutting real wheat. And then they would be leaving potentially some weeds because they look so alike. And God understands, Jesus understands that we are not the judges. We can't make that call. Right? And so the end of the parable is kind of this reminder that, like, we have one job only. Go plant seeds in good soil. Start with yourself and then in others. And go grow some wheat. Go grow some sons of the kingdom. Right? That's our one and only job. Okay? That's the good news. Heaven is invading earth. Sometimes that process doesn't always look like good news. It's going to hurt. It's going to change your life a little bit. You know? But that's what it takes for Jesus to kill the evil out of you. Think about a surgeon. I was going to use this laser as a illustration with a knife. But imagine a surgeon is running after you because you have cancer or something that they need to remove from you, and it's kind of freaky. Like, man, this guy's going to cut me open. But it's the good news. It's to get that out of you so that you can live and flourish and be healed from the inside out. God is the best surgeon. Continue to hear the whole gospel of Matthew. Don't just rip it apart. Get the whole context. See the larger picture. Look for heaven and earth to come together. Begin to see how everything is being healed and restored. Okay? Here's our job. Once again, grow wheat. Stop judging the weeds. Share the gospel with them. And who knows, maybe that plant that looked like a weed will turn out to be a wheat. Here's my conclusion and the hope behind all this. Trust the process. Here's another parable, the mustard seed, 31. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the other garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in the branches." The smallest faith in Jesus will grow and transform your life in ways that you can't even imagine. Your faith and trust in Jesus will become so big that others will be able to reap from it. Jesus should saturate your entire heart, life, and mind. Jesus should grow and become one with you like leaven, which is another parable that I'm not going to read word by word, but you should become one with Christ. Here's my challenge for you. Become rich, fertile soil. Allow the gospel to pop and expand in you in new ways. Allow Jesus to rip the evil out of your life. Replace that gap with something from the kingdom of heaven and go and expand the kingdom of heaven with Jesus. That's how the kingdom grows. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we hope this message has inspired you and challenged you to be the man or woman he's called you to be now and to see his kingdom grow in every area and arena of life. God is with you more than you know. For more information about our community here in Kansas City, please visit us online at citylifekc.org, and we'll see you next time on the City Life Podcast.